A prayer for illumination. Your word, O God, is a source of refuge and guidance. Lead us and inspire our hearts and souls as we engage Holy Scripture with our minds and spirits. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. Listen for God's word. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The verses that we're looking at this morning from Matthew are some of the most quoted but cherry-picked. We pull out parts of it instead of looking at the whole. Even the lectionary reading that I'm about to do hops and skips over some of the verses. Jesus has just sent the disciples out, but people haven't yet figured out who Jesus is. John the Baptist sends a message with his disciples asking Jesus if he is the one who we have been waiting for. Jesus praises John, but then continues with this message for the crowd. Let's listen for the living word from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19, and then 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Speak to us, stir us afresh, and call to us that we may hear. Amen. So preaching this weekend is hard. Is anybody even going to show up after all the fireworks? Do we talk about the elephant in the room when warplanes flew overhead for a show and our ears are still ringing from the fireworks celebrations? How much work went into all of our orchestrations, the desire to be the best? Yet what remains? Clouds of smoke from firework extravaganzas that kept us up way too late. Each town had their version of how best to celebrate. If one didn't appeal, you could just go down the street till you found one that did. This is everybody's attempt to honor this special anniversary for our nation. But why would we talk about that in church? And yet, this is exactly what that scripture is talking about, too. We worked so hard to get this weekend right. It's the 250th anniversary of our nation, right? It should be special, So we need to make sure we get it right. We can't just do the normal family gathering where we retire happily with a food coma after the picnic, and we're rejoicing that nobody burned any appendages with sparklers or fireworks and no ER visits had to happen. But look at our history. The Virginia Declaration of Rights states that the people of this colony can no longer groan under the heavy yoke of British tyranny. Thomas Paine's Common Sense says, "'Tis our duty to throw off the yoke of Britain." Upon the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams wrote to Abigail, "'It has been a severe trial, but the yoke, in capital letters, is broken and we are free." In our study about the Declaration of Independence with Faith 250 cohort, we notice that the majority of the language in the Declaration of Independence is about throwing off the yoke of the king. Maybe we should look at what this language of yoke is really saying to us. I don't want a yoke. It makes me feel like that ox with all the heavy load. What we think we want and what we think we should be doing are often figments that are built up by society or expectations of others. In today's scripture, the people looked at John the Baptist and thought his way of life was too strict and limited. He's nuts. He lives out in the wilderness eating bugs and dressing in sackcloth. He must be crazy. Why can't we have a leader who can be one of us? Then Jesus comes among us and did just that. He must be crazy or drunk, casting aside all of these rules and eating with just about anybody, feeding the crowds and listening to strangers along the roadside. He's just hanging out with the gang and not even with the popular crowd. Why can't he be more like a polished Messiah with the power that we expected to see? Isn't that what this holiday and this scripture are all about? Our expectations, wisdom, and who we serve. Where are we yoked? The reason some of this scripture sounds so odd to our ears and we have to hop around in it is because the words are carefully crafted for a different audience, one that would have recognized all of the words from the Old Testament, the words of wisdom. The Reverend Alice McKenzie reminds us in Proverbs, the guiding presence of God in daily life is personified as a wise woman who invites followers onto a path of wisdom that leads to life, who offers the way of wisdom, nourishment, a fountain of life, light, and a secure dwelling place. McKenzie continues, we have many, many images of Jesus, but that one we should add is Jesus as the wisdom of God, coming to earth. Saying even those I am statements that we're so familiar about that Jesus says are parallels to the Old Testament wisdom. These are quotes that we as a people don't recognize as readily as some of the Jewish people of that time. Instead of a ruler on a throne demanding others pull the load while he sits on high, we have a king who rides in on a donkey and blurs the lines, encompassing true wisdom. A Messiah who knows the laws and yet is willing to bend the letter, not for self-enrichment, but to point us back to intent. As we celebrate, let's look past the picnics. Look to the intent of how we say that we are supposed to live together. As we embrace a flag and a nation, have we built boundaries to protect and allow every child to thrive? Or do our boundaries hurt? Look at the intent. Look at the ideal. What we can be. Have we thrown off the yoke of the despot and worked to build a land where all know the wisdom and grace of the wisdom riding on a donkey? The gentle ruler, the loving and humble Jesus. I mentioned last week in my charge that visiting fans from the soccer FIFA playoffs remind us of what this world can be together. Fans who buy $1,000 seats on the one hand, but then stay afterwards to pick up the trash because they don't feel entitled that someone else has to do that. Fans who dance with the enemy, and players who look past definitions of other and write notes of thanks and hopes of world peace. Nations that play together, but then also cry together when there's disastrous earthquakes. The media stories of division and hate were interrupted with messages of joy, respect for another in ways that seem sometimes trivial, but ways that we took for granted and we've drifted away from in the hunt and the dream for success. Jesus calls us back into the guardrails, the yoke that puts down the burdens of the world so that we can try again and meet our ideals and how we wish to live together and how we should be pulling together. In each and every instance, we have trouble living up to that ideal. We fall short of following the law or the limitations like a John, but we don't trust the grace of Jesus quite the way we should to carry us through either. As a nation and as a church, we need to turn back to the ways of wisdom, lean into the ideals of faith and the respect integral to how we live together, how we thrive and we be God's children together. What would the world be like when there isn't any smoke from bombs, where warplanes only ever fly for shows and entertainment, where no ears are ever left ringing from gunfire, no strutting of power, but instead a world joined in joy, without boundaries or division. Imagine a community where there's not a need for defense, where no child ever goes hungry, not one. That world can start here. Lean into that yoke. The burden of loving is light. Together, better. Yoked and pulling so every child knows that they have a special place in a kingdom that has no boundaries and no one bears a crippling load or unjust load. But instead, we serve one another in love, following the wisdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.